Welcome to Paper Money, the bi-weekly podcast covering the business side of the game industry, from Steam to Scrabble, from Mayfair to Milton Bradley. I'm Ben Clark.
And I'm Rhett Kipp.
Today is March 27th, 2011. And Rhett, I'm very proud to say that we got the year right this time.
Yes, yes, you did manage to get 2011, so yes, you know we're cooking.
Yeah, I was doing real well for the first few months, and then had a little bit of a lapse. So glad to get that right, folks. This week's show is going to be a short show for a change. When we originally started the show many moons ago, our target was 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes tops. And those of you who have been listening know that we haven't had a 30-minute show in about 20 episodes. So, the last show in particular, we had lots of great information. We had some great feedback on it, and people really enjoyed it. It was a bit of a bear to edit. So we're going to try and do a bit of a shorter show this week, which is provident because not a lot going on.
So, yeah, it's a kind of quiet week.
Yeah. So this week, now the good news is, we have no corrections this week. We have no guests this week. We have a short news segment, and for commentary, we wanted to do just a few minutes of follow-up on the So You Want to Open a Game Store type thread that we did last week. So without further ado, let me move into the news. Well, maybe we could have used a little more. That's not true. There's just not a lot going on this week. Let's start out with a few of the small stories. KeyArts has announced they're coming out with Olympos. KeyArts isn't doing it. It's probably going to be Days of Wonder in the U.S. But KeyArts is the guy who designed Vinci and Small World. So Olympos is coming out in April. It should be interesting to see. I hated Vinci and loved Small World. So we'll see what the next adaptation of this theme produces.
Yeah. I thought that Small World was really spot on. Great game.
It was. It was the game that Vinci was crying out to be.
Right.
Quite frankly.
Well, it gave it some theme, and I think that was really the main thing. The game didn't need to be as abstract as it was, and once it got a theme, things got improved.
Yes, and they did refine some of the things in that. But anyways, I think Olympos is a little bit more of a civilization-building game, too, so we'll have to see how that goes. Warhammer Fantasy, there's some new supporting products out for that. Deadlands minis were announced this week for the game. Really, it's the game of the undead that wouldn't die. I'm just agog that they are still producing Deadlands minis. They look beautiful. They had the green stuff figs. They had pictures of them on the Purple Pawn if you want to check them out. Looks interesting. I'm full up. As somebody who purchased when they stopped making the Great Rail Wars, I bought a ton of the packages of miniatures for Deadlands Great Rail Wars. So I am full up on Deadlands minis. But if you're looking to expand your Battle for Slaughter Gulch figure set, or you didn't get Great Wheel Wars, these look really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very nice things.
Yes. And now, Rhett, you're probably more attuned with any cool new products that hit the store shelves this week?
Well, we got a bunch of stuff in the last couple of weeks from Fantasy Flight. Fantasy Flight apparently has, just shipped half of China over to the United States this last 2 weeks.
Yes, everything except for Blood Bowl Manager.
Everything but Blood Bowl, yeah. We saw new expansion, the ship combat for 40K RPG, which its name always eludes me. We got a Battle of Westos expansion that we just saw in. New game pieces, wooden pieces in various colors. Those are kind of nice and really interesting, something that's not really been out on the market. Odds and ends for virtually everything, more than I'd care to go into. We also just saw their big new fantasy game, and I'm blank. I cannot remember its name.
Hey, speaking of fantasy games, you know how we've been talking about iPad, iPod tie-ins with your board game or role-playing game product? HBO is doing Game of Thrones. Right, as a series now. Having butchered Pillars of the Earth, the cable networks are now working on Game of Thrones. And so they released an iPod app for Game of Thrones. And you know what it is?
I hold my breath and I'm reluctant, but go ahead.
It's a weather app.
excellent.
Yeah, I don't know who thought this was a cool idea. I really don't. I'm like, gosh, I wish there was some kind of a cool board game based on Game of Thrones that you could adapt. Or maybe a card game or something. Anyways, suffice to say.
Yeah, you know,
there are some tie-ins or folks are better than others.
Yes, I think some people have a better like, and you know, I'll be cautious about this because frankly, you know, having seen the adaptations that I have recently, for television adaptations, let's be very specific about this. I cringe at what they might be doing here. The new take on, Camelot, the new take on the Arthurian legend, which is they're creating new legend. That's their statement, which was kind of like Pillars of, well, you don't have to follow the story, right? Because we're not.
Yeah, there's a cathedral.
There's a cathedral and some
hijinks ensue. Yeah,
yeah, and some people whose names appeared in a book. To me, I think that the most important news of the week is the no news piece of the week, which is no announcement about Star Wars license yet.
Certainly not out of GTS. And that's, that really was, actually the only news story of the week. I want to give you some figures, from the Gamma website. Gamma had 219 unique retail stores attend this year's show. That is 150% of their GTS 2010 attendance. This is the best retailer turnout for GTS since 2008. The total show attendance was 833, which is 110% of GTS 2010. And they also go on to note a little bit about, you know, what the content was. As if you have not gone, there's a lot of retailer-oriented presentations, very much in that. And a lot of it's presented by, you know, the game companies are sponsored by them. They noted that mule-related presentations did very well. Now, the insert gamer joke here about free food, but it used to be in Las Vegas. You'd go, you'd gamble all night, you'd get free drinks, and you'd get a $6 prime rib buffet. Okay, if you go to Vegas now, food and beverage now makes more money than the gambling, is my understanding. Okay, it's very expensive to go out to eat in Las Vegas, so it makes no. It's and when they started GTS, that wasn't necessarily the case. So I think that they're adding these meal related events, and they're doing very well with it because, you know, if you're going to spend $20 to eat, you might as well spend $20 to eat and schmooze,
right?
So, or $30 really. I mean, some of the buffets are pretty lavish, but. I'm a gamer. $35 to eat dinner. I'm like looking at this going, okay, I can eat a Chick-fil-A for $6. And that's $20 I can spend over, you know, at the game store. But anyways, so the Gamma Show, attendance is really bouncing back, which is good. As we all know, attendance took an absolute nosedive when the recession started. And so it has bounced back. I think, my understanding is that, the companies that were there, the big companies that were there, were happy with the show.
So. Yeah, I haven't really heard too much feedback on that from them, but it is, you know, it's nice to see the attendance coming back up. And I do think that, you know, we've seen something in a trend of people skipping a year or skipping 2 years, but coming out, you know, it's expensive to fly now. It's expensive for hotels and everything else. And I don't see that changing anytime soon.
No. So, the other news this week, by the way, other than Gamma, the other actual real news, right? You can tell it's a slow news week when Rhett and I are talking about new product releases. Sam Zeitlin won the, RPG Superstar 2011 contest that Peizo's been running. And there was, the final round was, I guess, Sam Zeitlin, Cody Kofelt out of, Boise, Idaho, Jeral Toy, is that Toy or Toll? Sorry, out of Port Elizabeth, South Africa, and Sean McGowan, right, whose name you know, out of New York City. And, but Zeitlin is going to receive a contract to write a full adventure called The Midnight Mirror, and that'll be released by Peizo in early 2012. Again, folks, we always talk about, people always ask, how do I break into the game industry? Well, here's one way.
Yeah, and, you know, I like this because, you know, even though Sam is the only one who's going to officially get theirs printed by the contest, you know, their statement on this was pretty much it was a really close thing. So mm-hmm. I expect that a number of these other guys may see work.
Yeah, and let's face it, there were the voting was according to Peizo.com here. It's the 100,000 strong fan community chose his game. Now I don't know if all 100,000 people registered at Peizo voted or not, but that's some good exposure. All right, yeah. get the name out there as a designer, as a person who can do stuff. Not everybody wins. On the other hand, you don't always have to win to get either A, a good experience, or B, some good publicity. Well, Brett has nothing to add. Okay, rare enough. Yeah,
that was pretty much where I was headed with it. Yeah.
Yeah, Rhett doing his best to make this the shortest show we've ever done.
Shortest possible show, yes.
Exactly.
Hiding my cold as much as I can.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. So, because it was 87 here yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I could get a summer cold, too. I'm good at that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I saw in Chicago it was almost shirt sleeve weather.
It was almost shirt sleeve weather after we had snow.
Yeah. So
the
I made
whole middle of the week.
Yeah, I made sure to MMS everyone I knew pictures of me on the beach yesterday. So, anyways, listener mail before Rhett gets really angry at me. We didn't get any letters this week. We got some really great posts on the Purple Pawn where we host the show. People loved the show last week, and we hope to do similar shows later on. And we're going to talk a little bit more about game stores and opening one this week. Some of this advice, by the way, is going to be good advice for all businesses. But Rhett, if someone would like to comment on a show or request that we talk about a topic, how can they do so?
Well, they can email us at papermoney@purplepawn.com. You can Skype us at Paper Money Podcast. You can phone us at 773-634-9377.
That's really the only ways you can contact us. But
that's really the only contact.
Yeah, exactly. And you can track us via our RSS feed at purplepawn.com/category/papermoney/feed. And that segregates out just the Paper Money shows from the rest of the Paper Money feeds so that you won't miss a show. Again, give us a holler. We'd love to hear your feedback, and we'd love to talk about stuff that you guys are interested in. So definitely give us a holler. That said, Rhett, let's talk a little bit in our quote commentary section about a few more things for when you start your game store.
Well, a couple of things that we kind of left out, and you know, we were trying to be encompassing last week and not have a show that ran 2 days.
Yeah, exactly. I think we still managed to hit an hour and 10 minutes. So
a couple of things that we left out were rather important. Signage, naming, you know, coming up with a name that people recognize and can remember. Also, usually helpful if it's somewhat descriptive as to what you do, but not always.
Correct.
You know, catchy is better than descriptive.
Well, the thing I wanted to talk about signage was, one, a lot of the times you can get a deal on signage from the person you're leasing the building from, right? They'll either refurbish the space or offer to do the sign for you. That's often a good deal. Okay. That's something that you can negotiate for in the lease, is to have them provide you with a reasonable sign. Now, there's still some negotiating as to what kind of sign you're going to get. But again, just like refurbishing the space, a lot of times that's part of a lease. And the other thing I wanted, go ahead, Red. Sorry, you were about to talk there.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, because there's a lot of places, especially when you're dealing with things like strip malls in particular, where they are very much contracted to have a look. And a lot of times it's a village ordinance.
Yes.
You know, where you're going to have a sign that kind of flows with the rest of the look of the strip mall that you're in.
That's a very good point. And in which case, they're definitely going to cut you a deal on the signage.
So be sure to check your village ordinances. When you're putting your store together, you know, go down like you should and get your, you know, get all your stuff together. Make sure that, you know, when you're incorporating yourself, which will be coming up in a moment, and all the other good stuff, your business license and the like, you know, find out what requirements are there for having a retail spot. What your job is for the village as well.
Correct.
Because you do have a lot of important things that, you know, your local community is going to require of you.
Yes. And for one of the, I'll touch on that a little bit, I think, when we, in a couple topics down. But what I want to get back to the naming, signage, that was what I was going to say. For God's sakes, buy a lighted sign.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Yes, do not skimp and not get an unlit sign, because there's this thing called winter, which in the Northern Hemisphere, it gets dark early when you're still open. So get a lighted sign.
Well, and then also additionally, you know, most stores do stay open, you know, later hours, at least a few nights a week.
Correct.
Because there's a lot of traffic that comes in post 6 o'clock.
Yes, and do not have your friend paint the sign. Even if it's like a flat board that's lit from below or something like that. Have a professional person do this. Moving on to naming, there's a reason, by the way, that all game stores have games in the title. Right? It's not because game store owners are not necessarily creative. It's because when someone is driving by at 45 miles an hour on a four-lane highway, this communicates immediately what you sell.
You know, which is critical. Even people walking by, a lot of times, you know, don't stop to look in the window, but they will see your sign.
Correct. And then the other thing is remember what your name's going to communicate, okay? If you name your game store the Dungeon Hole, you know, Dungeon Pit Comics and Games, all right, this very much says we carry role-playing games, we carry all the geek stuff, normal people stay away.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean,
and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Okay, you've targeted your niche. You know what your niche is. Boom. This is Pete's Games Pit or whatever. And that's what it is. But if you're trying to do something else, keep in mind what your name signifies.
Right.
So, the other thing too is a lot of game stores anymore are the Xbox trade-in places. If you're not doing that, avoid something that will cause confusion.
Yes, that even in our case of our store locally, I'm constantly getting calls during the Christmas season.
Yes,
you know, for electronic games, which we have nothing to do with, and it's because the name is close enough; it has the word "game" in it.
Yeah, exactly, and there will be some of that kind of confusion, no matter what.
Yeah.
But again, this is you don't have to be super creative, but. Again, try and find something that describes your store, but also includes the words, for instance, games.
Yeah. Anyway, onwards.
Yes.
Other topics. Before we do hit our hour-long one.
Again, I know. We could go on and on.
Always remember to incorporate. LLC is probably one of the easiest ones to do nowadays. Limited liability.
Except in Illinois.
There are different areas that
It varies from state to state.
And community to community. So you have to check, again, always with your locals. But always incorporate, because the answer is most businesses in America fail, small businesses in particular. The majority of them do. And rather than, you know, settle yourself with about $1 billion worth of debt, okay, it's a slight exaggeration, but rather than, you know, settle yourself with debt, the United States has very, very friendly laws of getting out of debt free as a corporation.
Correct. Usually the smallest corporation you're going to do is what's usually called a Chapter S corporation. You'll pay a lawyer. It'll probably cost you anywhere between $200 and $500 to file with. You'll file with the Secretary of State in the state you're going to do business in, and basically you're just saying, "Hi, we're a corporation. There's some paperwork that has to be done." I recommend, by the way, if it's not just you, right? If it's, you know, you and three buddies who are all pulling in $30,000 to open this store, that you very much go through and do your articles of operation, okay, which is usually what you have to do for a corporation. But for God's sakes, don't do this as a sole proprietorship. Because if there are any money or debt issues, it comes back to, well, I liked the house.
Yeah.
But you can lose your house doing this. So if you're going to, and then again, the LLC is another way to incorporate. It's usually easier and cheaper. It's a limited liability corporation or an LLP, limited liability partnership. In this case, you're going to be an LLC. A partnership is more for a professional firm. The important thing to remember is, it also protects you from, you know, for instance, the business would have insurance in case anyone got hurt, but you wouldn't get sued and lose your house. Okay, right. This is what all this is about. This is a limited liability is exactly what it's about in both of these cases.
Right.
Yes.
Next area, I'm pretty sure we've done a pretty good job telling you about that one. The next one is accounting. Unless you're a CPA or married to a CPA or have a immediate family member who is someone you trust as a CPA.
And who will work free or cheaply.
Yes, get an accountant.
Yes.
And even if it's only part-time.
And do this. And by the way, I highly recommend doing this as one of the first things that you do. They will be able to give you advice on the tax structure of the Chapter S versus the LLC. The chances are they have other retail clients, and chances are they're also going to know some of the they'll be able to take care of things for you. So, for instance, if you need to get an EIN number from the federal government, they'll know how to do that. They've done it for their other clients and things like that, and it's just one less thing to worry about. This is one of those instances where, yes, you could do this yourself, but no, you should not. It's one of the, as Jim Baker once said, pay the lady.
Yeah. The biggest thing here.
Okay. That might've been the most obscure, stupid reference I've made in a while, by the way, but yes. Thank you very much.
I was just going to run right over it until you brought it up.
Okay. That's fine. Keep going. We'll just pretend I didn't say it.
But the whole point of, accounting, and I mentioned this earlier and I will mention this continuously. If you're a business, you have to pay taxes, and there's all sorts of taxes that you have to pay, especially if you have other employees, because you do have to pay things like FICA, and your cut of FICA is higher than their cut of FICA. And the government wants to be paid first. And yes. Has no sense of humor, and it's really depressing when you have a successful business that's forgotten to pay enough taxes that the Fed walks up and just slaps a lock on your door and says, too bad.
Correct. And your taxes will be due monthly or quarterly, depending on the size of your business. Probably monthly, I think. It depends on
what we're referring to. A lot of stuff are projected quarterly taxes as well. Mm-hmm. Almost all taxes that you're paying for your mm-hmm. employees and stuff like that. Federal taxes tend to be quarterly, and local taxes tend to be monthly, but they vary.
Yes. So keep all that in mind. Again, this is one of the reasons why you need to hire an accountant. And the next reason, Rhett, why you're going to hire an accountant is you want to
go ahead. Keep track of your expenses.
Yes. This is harder than it sounds. Okay. Imagine a game store where you've got three principals, or even two. Okay. Now say between the two of you, you both have two credit cards. Okay. And you're doing some stuff with the credit cards. Say you've got a business checking account. That you're operating the store off of, and maybe a line of credit. You now have six possible avenues for these things to go. You're going to have recurring expenses like credit card fees and rent and utilities, but you're also going to have the one-time stuff. And, if you ship anything, shipping is something that you can usually deduct. Okay, you're going to have to keep track of all of your inventory purchases again. So at the end of the year, they can figure out what the value is of what you've purchased on that so that you can figure out what your gross profit was. But all of this is harder than it sounds, right? Like I said, there's just so many different ways you can lose a receipt, so to speak.
Right.
And everything that you can show as an expense is quite frankly, usually it's less tax that you have to pay.
Absolutely. And, there's important things to go along with all your expenses and the like is, oddly enough, one of the key things that people forget about businesses when it comes to end of the year, businesses don't really like to show a lot of profit.
That's opposed to making a lot of profit, which businesses love. Yes, go ahead and explain.
And the logic behind that is because you get taxed more for it. So, there are really neat ways to, fix that. Buy more stuff is a good way to get that. Bonuses, write mm-hmm. write everybody bonuses, but reduce your profit. Oddly enough, it sounds counterintuitive.
Yes.
But when you get into the whole accounting end of it, you can literally be too successful.
Yes.
You have to find a way to basically convince the federal government that Batman, even though it grossed $2 billion, didn't make any money.
At least not at your store.
At least not at your store.
Yeah, and again, folks, one, this is the game industry. So your chances of making a gazillion dollars and having to, buy a yacht or something like that to hide the money.
A company yacht.
Yeah, maybe a Sunfish. Okay. But anyways, that's probably not going to happen, and probably definitely not going to happen in the first couple of years, right? When you're trying to build up inventory and you're trying to build up the store, it's most of your money is going to go right back into that, and it won't be hard to hide a profit. But it is something to think about. And again, this is why you hire an accountant.
Right.
Is to help you with all that kind of stuff. So, and again, Rhett, I think we're about done, actually. I think that's it.
I think we're covered.
Okay, excellent. Folks, again, those were a few things we wanted to touch on. We hadn't, and some of that, by the way, applies to any game company, okay?
Or any business.
Or any business. Certainly a small business. But again, we wanted to throw that back out there for everybody and revisit that topic. And, you know, normally this is the part of the show after the commentary, after the listener mail stuff, where we talk about upcoming stuff.
Well, we do always have something upcoming. The problem is nothing's really upcoming for months.
No. Like I said, we talked about in the 2011 show guide a few shows ago that, you know, we have Gamma Trade Show, and I think the NSSEA is coming up. But really, until Astra's Retail Academy this summer, there's not a lot of stuff going on. Now is the paddling beneath the surface time, right? When everyone's getting prepared to release product for Origins and Gen Con, or in the case of the mass marketers, very late in the third quarter, Labor Day-ish for the fourth quarter. So not much coming up that you need to worry about. That doesn't mean you have to stop working.
No, as a matter of fact, this is probably some of the hardest times of the year to work because, well, you know, April 15th is tax day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's that, and there's, pardon me, there's additional taxes, you know, depends on your end of year, et cetera, and how all those things work out for you. So it's also a leaner time. Though this has been a very, very strong release month. I was surprised at how strong a release month March is. Typically, February, March, and April tend to be fairly lean, and that's not the case this year.
Yeah, there's usually a little bounce around Easter, but like you said, there was a lot of FFG product coming out, and we're seeing a lot of the hobby market stuff come out, and part of that is because Gamma was this month. Most of the hobby stuff is coming for the summer, but not too much you need to worry about other than your own stuff, right? Working in the game industry right now, you don't have to worry about a show on the horizon. We've had that for, you know, basically since Christmas, but now you can take a deep breath and then get back into the fray.
Right, time to reassess how the whole thing's going. Preparation for all that excitement starting in the summer, and think Labor or Memorial Day weekend.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that's it for this show. Our next show will be April 10th, and I'm Rhett Kipp.
And I am Ben Clark. Rhett, I think we just went over 30 minutes.